Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, the issue of how to do right and who's a fool in the strange battlefield between men and women was certainly raised by South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, who, in one of his many puzzling, too much information kinds of statements since last Thursday, was this, it seems to me, battle cry or cry for help.
I'm quite certain that there were a handful of instances wherein I crossed lines that I shouldn't have crossed as a married man, but never crossed the ultimate line.
Now, we can be reasonably certain that the ultimate line he's talking about there isn't divorce, and that's up to his wife anyway. The ultimate line, it's kind of a euphemism about sexual relations. Maybe this one is familiar to you as well.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Okay, but then what did he have? Audacia Ray rejoins us now. She's the author of Naked on the Internet and is adjunct professor of sexuality at Rutgers University. Back in the studio. Audacia, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Debbie Herbenek is a research scientist at the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University and author of the forthcoming book, Because It Feels Good, A Woman's Guide to Sexual Pleasure and Satisfaction. Debbie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How much of a moving target, Audacia, is this idea of the ultimate line or, we're all familiar with the sort of baseball metaphors of first base, second base, third base. I mean, what is Mark Sanford talking about, Audacia?
I mean, I think it's not so much just about the idea of what is sex, but also what is the ultimate line in violating relationship vows, especially in a marriage. So there's definitely a divide between what people consider that line to be in sex and what that line is when you're violating what you agreed with your spouse.
I mean, in fact, married people talk about this all the time, Debbie, that there's a line that is physical, right? There's also a line that is linguistic in the sense that you are saying things that maybe permit a kind of open-ended interpretation of what's going on here. How do we mediate that sort of thing, Debbie?
Well, unfortunately, what happens is married couples do and they don't talk about these things. There's often very little shared understanding or shared meaning of what it really does mean to cross a line. So often you have one person who has done something and the other partner may say, well, you shouldn't have done that. You know, that crossed the line. That went too far. And the other one can sometimes claim ignorance.
I think that's rooted in a communication problem, too, that couples assume monogamy but don't talk about what that means exactly.
Well, let's just look at the Sanford case. I mean, if you follow the news, on Thursday he admitted that he actually, you know, vanished for 4 days and went to Argentina to spend time with his mistress. Now, this was presumably the first time he disclosed that he actually not only left the country but was sleeping with her and had been doing it for a long time. Then he admitted that he had other sorts of affairs. We can presume from this that the governor had something of a non-communicative relationship with his wife up to last week. Right, Debbie?
We can assume that this wasn't discussed. It does seem that they had some discussion earlier, at least from a few different reports. But in any case, it doesn't, you know, it's very unclear if it was honest communication.
Right.
I mean, there have been several different stories already that he's woven to the media. And as often happens in couples, you know, it's up for grabs whether or not what happened actually gave his wife any real information about what he had been doing.
Well, based on both of your work, Audacia and Debbie, it's actually very difficult. Maybe it's not almost impossible, but it is difficult for men and women to be honest in the sense that the statistics show that what men consider sex and what women consider sex varies radically by community culture and even whether we're talking about today or 20, 30 years ago. Audacia?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true as far as the statistics go. But I think the place where that can be bridged is, you know, where people need to talk more about what they consider sex and what they consider cheating. And, you know, I mean, Stanford says that, you know, he shouldn't have even danced with another woman. And, you know, maybe some wives would be okay with that. Maybe dancing is permissible in some relationships and not in others.
Debbie, is dancing permissible? Well,
you know, again, that does vary by relationship. But I find this challenging because it is, as you were saying, a moving target. What someone considers sex or cheating or okay or not okay early in a relationship often changes. And people don't always inform their partner that their perspective has changed. And often people, you know, give themselves excuses, such as when they say that, well, it's not just sex. I've fallen in love, and this is now a love story. And being in love sometimes gives you certain permissions that maybe you wouldn't have given yourself before.
But that's also could be a different level of violation of a relationship that, you know, there's, quote unquote, just sex. And then there's falling in love with someone, which is a totally different kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Right. Some relationships actually permit the sex, but it's the love that's forbidden.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Some say as soon as you start to get emotionally attached, it's time to stop.
Now, when Bill Clinton said, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, he was basically suggesting that oral sex is all right, okay? Because that's what we found out later was actually going on. Now, in my upbringing, that just seemed like an insane proposition for my generation. But in fact, for people who are in their 20s today, it's not insane at all. It actually makes total sense. Right, Debbie?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that he didn't include oral sex as sex doesn't necessarily reflect a sense that oral sex was all right within his relationships, but that it wasn't sex. Mm-hmm. And it is the case that many, especially heterosexual people, do not identify oral sex as sex, but it changes. I mean, some people I've worked with in interviews and research studies, when I've asked them how many partners they've had, they may say two in the past few months, but later on a third name will come up. And when I ask why they didn't, you know, include that person earlier, they'll say anything from, well, it was only oral sex, to, well, sure, it was vaginal intercourse or anal intercourse, but I didn't really like him or her that much, or, you know, it wasn't very good, or it only lasted 2 minutes. And so people use so many qualifiers.
Maybe it's
both
the qualifiers. You know, ultimate line is another qualifier. Audacia, is that consistent with the kinds of things that you see?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also part of this is a generational thing that relates to risk. And that because oral sex is, you know, risky in terms of transmitting sexually transmitted infections, but it's less so than oral or than vaginal and anal sex. That figures into the whole picture also.
All right. Well, you know, breakfast conversation here this morning on The Takeaway. Audacia Ray, author of Naked on the Internet and adjunct professor of sexuality at Rutgers University. Thanks so much for being here. And Debbie Herbenik, a research scientist at the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.